This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Arsenal's title race hopes lay and hang by a thread. After their 2-0 defeat against Aston Villa at the Emirates Stadium yesterday, questions remain, frustrations linger, and the title race is certainly raising some very, very tough challenges that Mikel Arteta is going to be very much under the knife about whether he can overcome them or not. This is the Arsenal Raw Reaction Show. Hello and welcome to the Guna Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is our Raw Reaction Show, the show in which we talk to you the morning after the night before. And that is exactly what this morning's show is. Arsenal beaten 2-0, as I say, by Aston Villa at the Emirates Stadium in an incredibly disappointing second half performance in particular. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to tackle some of your thoughts in part two as well. And I'm hopefully going to commit to a phone-in show a little bit later on today as well, around 5 o'clock UK time, for those of you that want to voice some of your frustrations, your views, and we can have a conversation if you take any issues or anything I say in today's show. Of course, you got the opportunity to come on the show and tell me your reasons behind them as well. So I just want to let you know about that as well. 5 o'clock UK time today, we'll be doing a phone-in show, fingers crossed, so that you can have your say. This morning is kind of an opportunity for a bit of a therapy session in some ways, and an opportunity for me to go through my thoughts on yesterday's game, where I think that this leaves us and where I think this is where it is with the title race and things like that as well. I'm going to try and remain as relatively calm as I can. And the reason why I'm going to do that is I actually want to start off the show with a certain specific mental health point. Because on yesterday's fallout, and certainly on social media after the game, the explosion, the meltdown that we saw was significant. It was a combination of frustration, a combination of disappointment, certainly plenty of anger as well. And I do want to tell people, I do want to, you know, absolutely highlight the point that if you are struggling, you know, if things happen, if football affects your mindset so incredibly damagingly, please take yourself away from things. Please take a step back, take a breath, because it's not worth it. It's really not. I always maintain this. You see, you know, the anger that you can see across social media, the anger that you can see across platforms, how impactful this sport and this club can be to people. And I absolutely need to highlight and tell the people that if you are struggling, please do take a break. I'm not sitting here trying to pine for you to tune into every single show. If you need to take a break, if you need to take a day, if you need to take a week, take it, you know, because I know that we are incredibly passionate about this sport and about this club, but it is not worth affecting your daily mood and affecting those people around you as well. So please do take a breath, take a second if you need to. But we do crack on with today's show. For those joining us, thank you. And for those listening, perhaps on catch up, maybe in a couple of days' time as well, if you needed to take a couple of days as well, welcome back. These shows are always very difficult for us to push forward with our title challenge of our own, which is to try and continue to reach 1,000 likes on every single day that we do this. So if you could be ever so kind to drop a like, I would really appreciate it. But I do know that certainly is less motivational on days after we lose. I think the hardest day that we've had this season was following, I think it was the result against Liverpool when we lost in the FA Cup. So please do help us by dropping a like. Actually, I think it might have been after the Porto game. I think that was... that was a very, very difficult day. But I appreciate that we're not as enthusiastic after we lose. But thankfully, we've not had to deal with that fact very often. And that is something that we'll be talking about in today's show. And we kick off, of course, with the fact that the scoreline overall, Arsenal 0, Villa 2. A tale of two halves and one which leaves the title race hanging by a thread. It was a first half performance that was really encouraging. We started off how we've started so many games this season, creating chances, creating opportunities, pushing Villa back, pushing them into the box, creating chances to score that we didn't ultimately end up taking. And in particular, we'll run through some of those chances soon. But the second half was just unacceptable, really. Really important to highlight the fact that we were, in some senses, in plenty of senses, the kind of the orchestrators of our own downfall. We were naive, we made mistakes, and we looked tired, very tired. And that certainly is something that I think maybe in part two we'll discuss a bit more about rotation and to do with specifically kind of load on the players and the depth of the squad and where things will change going into next season as well and what still needs to change as well. And how we dealt with the changes that Villa made. Unai Emery has a fantastic record against Arsenal. He's only lost once in all of the times that he's faced Arsenal, and that was that dramatic late victory that Jorginho and Martinelli helped us to achieve last season, of course. But we have been very frustrated by Aston Villa on numerous occasions, and it ultimately has led us into a position where we hoped that we wouldn't be. And Unai Emery's tactics in the second half absolutely outsmarted Mikel Arteta. And it's frustrating. I saw Clive's tweet where Emery basically took a B team up to Manchester City, got battered, comes to Arsenal, fights for their lives. And it is frustrating, but it is the reality. And you can only beat what's in front of you. And we didn't do enough to deserve the win on the day. I do want to highlight Martin Odegaard's performance because it was absolutely stunning in the first half. I was turning to the people around me saying it was almost a case of not believing what I was watching, of how good his turns, his touches, his movement, his pass to Saka for his chance was a brilliant performance. And in the second half, as soon as he went off, we lost our outlet. We lost our focal point. We lost a player that was being the real shining star for us in this game. And I'm hoping that any issues that have been suffered by this game, he obviously received quite a hefty kick in the chest from Ollie Watkins after the overhead kick. He had a foot issue, supposedly, or a leg issue. It's hopefully not too bad, and he'll be fine for the game against Bayern Munich. We keep those fingers crossed. We'll know whether or not he's trained tomorrow. I'll be at the training centre tomorrow to see the open training session, and hopefully Odegaard will be there, and hopefully he'll be available to play. But it is incredibly frustrating that when he came off, we lost so much. And I have a question mark about that. We brought Emile Smith-Rowe on for Odegaard. And for me, I don't necessarily think that was the right decision. Smith-Rowe is a player that I think can play with Odegaard. He's a player that I think can play in a number eight attacking position. I think he can play in a wide left position. But he's not a replacement for Odegaard because he is stylistically very different. And it left me asking the question of why we invested £34 million in Fabio Vieira. You've got a player on the bench that is effectively there and designed to be the creative deputy to Odegaard. He's not played many games. He's not played many minutes. But if you've bought him and you've got him on the bench, why not use him? I raised that point online and some people said, of course, he's still coming back from injury. And I absolutely understand that. I empathize with that. But if he's coming back from injury and you need to bring him on with 15 minutes left, why is he there? What's the point of him being on the bench? What's the point of him being there? Rather have Reece Nelson on the bench than Fabio Vieira if we can't bring him on with 15 minutes to go. Absolutely no point in being there. So I really didn't understand why Vieira didn't come off the bench when he's far more creative than Emile Smith-Rowe is ultimately, who's a different type of player. And that's very frustrating indeed. Kai Havertz in midfield again. I've said time and time again, I've wanted Havertz to be out of the midfield. I was frustrated seeing him there. I was really did not have him in my starting lineup in the midfield and haven't done. You know, I've been saying this week upon week that the best performances from Havertz have come out of that midfield role. He still created stuff. He still was involved in chances in the midfield. And I think it's a role that that he can play. This isn't me saying he cannot play in midfield categorically. But for me, I just don't think that it gets the best from him. I don't think it gets the best from him as a player. He certainly impacts the game and he created opportunities and got opportunities. But it's either Havertz or Jesus when it comes to starting at centre forward. I would have gone with Partey. I could have gone with Smith Rowe, you know, playing alongside Odegaard in that attacking midfield. I think it's more suited to perhaps a Smith Rowe in there, who was so good against Luton Town. You know, that previous point about Fabio Vieira, that's not a slight on Smith Rowe. It's just stylistically, I don't think he's a replacement for Odegaard, whereas I think he's a good partner for Odegaard and showed that in games this season, like at Forest and like, of course, against Luton, as I've already mentioned. There's something about Havertz. If you start him, I think you have to start him as close to the forward line as you can. And I would have started him over Jesus. I would have started Jesus against Bayern Munich. Jesus, of course, missed some big chances during this game. He had a header that he has to get that on target. Absolutely. The cross is brilliant from Saka. You cannot be hitting the side netting from that position. You have to go. And the ironic thing is when Jesus first came in, he was lapping those chances up at the back post, heading shots in, volleying shots in at the back post. It was his bread and butter. And his, I don't know if it's a confidence thing, if it's just him being out of form, but he absolutely has to do better with that chance. The chance in the second half, he does test Martinez. Can he do better? It's a difficult opportunity. It's a low XG shot. But again, that header was such a glorious opportunity in the first half, either to head back across or to absolute minimum getting on target. The absolute no-no is hitting the side netting, which is obviously what he did. Trossard's biggest chance of the game. Jesus obviously set that up. So props to him, of course, for responding to that miss by setting up Jesus for that as well. Sorry, for setting up Trossard for that. But ultimately, Trossard has to score. I've been waxing lyrical saying Trossard's the best finisher at the club, and I still think he is the best finisher at the club, and the numbers back that up. But he misses a big chance here. A very, very, very big chance. And Darren says, if Havertz is on the end of that cross, perhaps he's talking about the Jesus chance. But I think also, if Havertz is where Trossard is, I'd back Havertz to score. It's a very similar chance to the one Havertz scored at Brighton when Jorginho, you know, set him up. I'd back Havertz to kind of hit it around or angle his foot better to maybe finish past. But I'd still expect Trossard to score this. So I don't really want to go into the whole, well, if Havertz was there, he would score. But it is maybe more of a Havertz chance than a Trossard chance. But still, Trossard should be scoring. And then, of course, Saka had that shot that he curled just wide of the post. Really good effort. Again, good play on the right-hand side. Saka had a good first half, completely faded in the second. Was nowhere to be seen, really, in the second half whatsoever. And those chances meant that we missed out on the opportunity to take an edge into that first half. Of course, Villa also created that. Watkins hit the post, which narrowly just curled round the other side of it as well. And it meant that the game ended despite them having the Tielemans chance, despite the fact they scored two goals. They still had less XG than Arsenal did throughout the game. And I think that tells the story that it was a missed opportunity. This wasn't a game where we saw, you know, you think about the Aston Villa when they beat Manchester City. That was a Villa performance that absolutely dominated Manchester City and they deservedly won that game. And based upon the second half performance, Villa absolutely deserved to win this game based upon how they performed in the second half. But the numbers show that we wasted opportunities, that we absolutely could have won this game and we blew it. We didn't take the opportunity. So how we set up tactically in the first half was fine, and we created the game we wanted to create in the first half. I think Arteta spoke about it post-game that he was very, very pleased with it, but obviously we just could not score them. Villa created two huge opportunities, of course, with that long-range effort as well from Tielemans in the second half, and they took two of them. And on the day, that's been the difference. And actually, if you look at some of the games that we've played this season when we have dropped points, West Ham, two chances, they take them both. Porto creates two chances, scores one of them away from home. Bayern Munich creates three big chances with the Koeman post as well, but creates three big chances, scores two of them. The Fulham game, they created two opportunities of real note. They scored both of them. Liverpool in the FA Cup, two big chances. They take both of them. When Arsenal haven't picked up the points, it's because the opposition teams that they have faced have been more clinical than them. And that is when it raises up that conversation again about the striker. Now, we've talked about previously that Havertz's performances have impressed the club so much that maybe their view of a striker, their view of who they want to go for in the summer has perhaps slightly changed. The frustration for Arsenal is that there is not a striker out there at the moment that you look at and go, yeah, that is the Declan Rice of strikers that is going to transform the number nine position. Because Victor Osimhen isn't that for me. Victor Gyökeres, I like him, but he's not that for me. No striker out there for me is as guaranteed as a signing as what Declan Rice was for our midfield. And so whoever we go for in the summer, there is going to be an element of risk. There's going to be an element of taking a bit of a punt. And we can't afford to necessarily take a punt either on that striker position. But we absolutely need to find it. Is Isak that player? Potentially, Alcesar. Is he available? That's the question mark. Newcastle aren't necessarily up for selling him. Even with the PSR stuff, David Ornstein has already reported that Newcastle have no intention of selling Isak. And if you go for him, it's going to cost you a lot. If there is a striker out there, if you can get him, absolutely go and get him. He'd probably be a fantastic option for us. But it's about the fact, can you get Alexander Isak? And I'm not sure. 5 minutes after Ben White went off, we conceded. Ben White has been so good for us. Now, I don't know if there was anything to do with a fitness issue for Ben White. I don't know if this was a load issue as to why he went off. But 5 minutes after Ben White goes off, we conceded. And of course, where did the cross come from? Our right-hand side. Now, Havertz, of course, is there in that position, doesn't stop the cross. The calamity of errors between Raya not knowing whether to come or go, Declan Rice and Zinchenko at the back post not being alert enough to where Bailey is, not being present enough for him being there. But Ben White going off and us conceding 5 minutes later is exceptionally telling. Very, very telling indeed. Dwayne says perhaps it was because he was on a yellow card as well. But I feel as though I'd trust Ben White to be good enough to not do that. I would have been taking off Zinchenko for Tomiyasu at this stage. Villa were on the up. Villa were dominating. How Zinchenko stays on the field as long as he does, I don't know. And I've talked about scapegoating Zinchenko, and I think I've raised what I feel to be some really important points about the danger of him becoming something of a scapegoat. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't still criticise when he's worthy of criticism at all, whatsoever. I think looking at a player like Zinchenko is important to talk about the fact that the Bayern performance, when he came off the bench, he starts against Liverpool, he starts against Man City, he starts against Brighton, three clean sheets, three tough opponents. He's important in all of those results. And the Bayern performance in the second half, if you watch that back, it was a good performance as well. But this game was poor. This game was really, really poor. And he should have been off sooner. He made key mistakes in dangerous positions, unforgivable mistakes in dangerous positions. The Tielemans chance happens because he gave the ball away to Tielemans. And that's on Arteta. That's on Arteta for not taking him off. Arteta should take him off sooner. It shouldn't be Ben White coming off. It should be Tomiyasu coming on for Zinchenko. And then by the time we do take him off, it's too late. And they go and score another goal. In fact, we're waiting to bring Nketiah on when Ollie Watkins runs through and scores. And then Eddie Nketiah comes on and I'm thinking, I know Eddie Nketiah scored some important goals for us like last season against Manchester United. Absolutely, he scored a really important goal. He scored goals this season, but like at the end of the day, Eddie Nketiah is a decent striker, but he's not a title-winning striker. He's not the striker that you bring on. You look at Liverpool, you know, you look at Man City, who have won games late on, and they bring on the players of Gakpo scoring against Sheffield United later on. I know he's not even had the best of seasons, Gakpo, but he's a very good player. Manchester City can bring on Alvarez, you know, they can bring on the players they have on the bench to change things. You've got Grealish, £100 million sitting on the bench. And ultimately, we're bringing on Eddie Nketiah to try and save a point against Villa. And again, no disrespect to Eddie Nketiah, intentionally anyway, but ultimately that is the difference between what we're bringing off the bench at this moment in time. And he didn't. It didn't offer something. It didn't offer anything. It didn't look like we were going to score when he came on. So that's obviously a very big frustration as well. Yeah, it's gutting, isn't it? It's absolutely gutting. So what did Arteta get wrong? Well, the Zinchenko thing I've already touched upon. Absolutely. He gets that wrong and he should be bringing him off sooner. I think we absolutely should have gone for more midfield dominance in the second half. Thomas Partey was there. We didn't use him. And I don't know why. Smith Rowe coming on instead of Fabio Vieira for me when our creative player can no longer continue. For me, Vieira should come on. Ben White, yes, he's on a yellow card, but 5 minutes after he's off, we've conceded from our right-hand side. I think that's telling. They didn't have Douglas Luiz. We didn't do enough of the midfield battle. Jorginho coming on. Villa were in. I think that, yeah, I mean, the Jorginho sub's an interesting one as well, because when Jorginho's played, he plays well when we're in dominant positions. But when you think about how he played at Man City, he was, you know, he was marked out of the game. We didn't really get into it. He completed 10 or 15 passes. And I thought to myself, if Villa at this moment are on top and had been on top for the majority of the second half, is Jorginho really the right choice? Bayern Munich was starting to build in the second half. Yes, we got the equaliser, but Partey comes on, creates that chance for Saka, which obviously leads to the whole penalty drama. Again, I'm not sure that was the right choice. His in-game management has obviously been something that I've always said needs to improve. I think has improved, but it's certainly not refined yet. It's certainly not mastered yet. It's certainly still something that needs to be better. And so obviously in the second half, he couldn't react to the tactical changes. He couldn't react to how Unai Emery changed things in the second half. And again, sadly, was outsmarted by his compatriot come full time. But the first half performance, obviously, as we talk about, there's nothing wrong with the performance besides the finishing. We couldn't finish. And that has cost us. Arteta can't kick the ball in the net. He can only set his team up to try and win games. And he did that for the first half. But for the second half, when Villa changed, we didn't. And Ansa says, Jorginho creates dominance. Well, there was nothing dominant about our performance when he came on. And if he should have come on sooner, again, I don't necessarily see how that necessarily happens, because I think Thomas Partey would have been the better pick. It's obviously very easy to say with the benefit of hindsight. I can admit that, you know, it's very easy to say with the benefit of hindsight what we can do differently, what should have been done differently. But that is the reality, then, certainly my analysis of things. Liverpool, of course, slipped up earlier in the day as well. That opened the opportunity for Arsenal to go 3 points clear of them and for Arsenal to be in a position whereby they could really take a hold of the title race away from Liverpool, at least. But what it means is, of course, that Arsenal remain ahead of Liverpool and are 2 points behind Manchester City in the title race as well. But it leaves us very frustrated, very annoyed, and looking to Bayern Munich now, and a very, very difficult test. And if Arsenal can come through that and progress, it's very, very interesting how that would then lead us on, for two reasons. A, because of what momentum that could build. But in a negative sense, the biggest thing that I thought yesterday outlined was how tired we looked. Because we looked tired. I spoke to Ollie Watkins yesterday, and there's an interview coming out a little bit later on today. You'll be able to get that on football.london around midday. And something he says, which you can read at midday, is very telling. So do look out for that piece. But we were very, very tired. And I actually think that, you know, we talk about pressure, we talk about expectation. Some people talk about bottling it. And I think that we're in a position where the squad is obviously in question at times, and this is the time where the squad comes into question, and Arteta's rotation and load management perhaps comes into question as well. There's been frustrating points this season, like Sheffield United away, where you're 5-0 up at half-time. You can make changes there. Like, you can make changes at half-time against Sheffield United. You can bring off Martinelli. He doesn't get injured then. You know, he doesn't get injured in that moment. I know it's easy to say now, oh, you're saying that because he got injured 50 minutes, but tell me I'm wrong. You know, you could have brought him off and we didn't. And I just feel like there's some moments where maybe we can be a little bit savvier, and we're not. And again, lessons to learn from those moments for sure. And of course, as I mentioned, Bayern is up next. Arsenal face Bayern Munich on Wednesday, and we'll go to Germany with an opportunity to reach the first semi-final they have reached in a very, very long time. But we'll be facing a Bayern Munich side that rested players at the weekend, still won their game, and will be certainly in a better mindset going into the game against us. It's a huge match for both teams. It's an opportunity for Arsenal to reach a semi-final of a massive competition. And yeah, I look forward to seeing it. And I look forward to watching it and covering it. And I'm hoping that we get the result that we want. Well, let's go to part two and your questions and comments right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, let's jump into the chat, shall we, and tackle some of your comments. As I mentioned, this evening, 5 o'clock UK time, we'll be having a phone-in show. We'll be tackling some of your thoughts. I want to get some of you on. I want to get some of you to, tell me how you're feeling about things, to explain why, if you've got any issues with what I've said, if you could. I mean, I've seen some people in the chat box already being abusive, which they can because they're insecure little fools. But other than that, 99% of you are absolutely brilliant and can come on the show and hold a conversation. So I hope that you can do that. And I hope that you can join me a little bit later on today for another therapy session as well. So do join that. Set your alarms, 5 o'clock UK time. And I look forward to welcoming you. Maximir says, Tom, why did our players look so tired in the second half? Villa had 48 hours less of time to prep for this match and they played the same amount of games as us. Your guess is as good as mine, mate. You know, Villa had less time to prepare. They had Douglas Luiz not available, of course, either. Arsenal, not as, you know, they're just not as fit, it seems, which is, you know, a question mark. Did the fact that maybe Arsenal was so on it in the first half, dominant, on the ball, expired a lot of energy, did the first half mean that in the second half we needed more or lacked the energy that they then kind of saved from the first half? Maybe it was something to do with that. So perhaps that's it. Benny, thank you so much for the kind donation. Tom, get yourself a coffee, mate. I think our reserves let us down. None of them had considerable impact. We really need to get rid of a lot of the deadwood over the summer. The standards need to be up. No, I agree. I think we need to improve the squad still this summer. There's certainly depth options that need to be replaced. The irony is, of course, that there is a player that we haven't got that we maybe would have had he been fit throughout the season. That's Yrieën Timber. You know, we talk about Oleksandr Zinchenko. We talk about the evolution of that left-back position. We started the season with Timber playing there. Him coming back, sadly, it's been a little bit too late. G6328 says, I'm ready if Tom is realistic. Now, G6328, which I don't know if it's your real name, said, Tom, you are a deluded Arteta fan. You know what, G6328 says, you're ready. I'm more than willing to have you on right now. If you want to come on the chat, if you want to jump on the show right now, he says you're ready. Rarely do people turn up. But if you're ready, please drop me a message. You can catch me on either of my socials. I'll be looking out for that message where you can come on. If you're ready, please do jump on now, mate. I'd love to have a conversation and get some of your thoughts. Understand why you think I'm deluded. I'd love to hear it. Please do come on the show right now. Alvamod says, I think the plan was to open fast and score a few goals and then allow us to sit back and control the second half. When we didn't score in the first, we didn't have the strength to make another push. Absolutely. I think the plan is always for us to try and take that early lead to try and get a goal as early as possible. And when we didn't manage to do that in the first half, the game always seemed to kind of shift towards Aston Villa getting the more likely opportunities. And ultimately, that's the way the game played out. And I think certainly we were in a position where, it was always going to kind of go that way. And I look forward to seeing if Arsenal throughout the rest of this season can find something of a second wind. It's going to be very, very difficult. Very difficult indeed to find that. But maybe Timber coming back gives us that. Maybe Timber coming back can add something to that defensive position. But the question mark is when? When is that going to happen? When are we going to see Timber back? Is he going to be able to come back in time for us to do that? I don't know. That's another really, really big question. Moving forwards and tackling some of your other comments as well. Hoping to find them somewhere. they've sent a message, but I have none. Absolutely none. I'd love to know where that message has been sent. Apparently, you're more than welcome to come on, mate. I'm more than happy to talk. But you need to tell me where you've sent the message. Edmund says, don't feed the trolls. I don't know if it's about necessarily trolls. You've got to give people the time of day. You've got to give people an opportunity, you know, to have their say. People say I'm not open to listening to other opportunities. I very much am. They just ever so rarely do show up. Ben says, why do we always overwork the ball if our plan is to score quickly? We've seen our team go direct before, but why do our players act like they have to walk the ball in? It's a fair point, Ben. You know, I was saying it yesterday in commentary. I think I put it in the I think I put it as one of my final posts in the live blog. It was a game where no one wanted to take ownership. No one wanted to take that step. No one wanted to be the guy to make that pass, make that key movement. It just didn't happen, did it? And so you're absolutely spot on. You're absolutely spot on. We need more people that are going to take initiative, and no one took initiative at the end of that game. Wong Tong Soup says, I agree with Alex from The Different Knock when he says we are lacking individual moments of brilliance from players. We are highly effective as a team, but we don't have the likes of an Henry, a Salah, a De Bruyne. You know, I challenged that point from Alex actually the other week, and I said that we have got players that can do that. We have got players that can pop up with a brilliant goal. I think Rice has done that this season. I think Odegaard has done that this season. I think Saka has done that this season. But do we have a De Bruyne? No, we don't. We don't have a 28, 29-year-old who is one of the best in the world. We don't have that. And I hope we can create that and, of course, perhaps even bring that in. But we know at the moment we don't have a Salah or a De Bruyne. I think we have players that can create huge moments for us. But I think the point most accurately is we do lack that De Bruyne or Salah figure in our team. Clive says, we picked the form team post-buy and all those players who came in did well. It doesn't mean they should all start, but we went to chin them early. I think we align there, Clive, and I think some of the others do as well. It seems the person in the chat has now suddenly disappeared, which is unsurprising. Amesy says, how embarrassing was it with so many leaving after the first goal? With game time and a lengthy extra time, the team didn't deserve that. I've really been reluctant to talk about this type of thing because I know people don't like me talking about it. So often I try and avoid it now. I haven't spoken about it for a long time. I could have spoken about it on previous shows in other games as well. With people leaving, people don't like me talking about it. It's an opinion I hold. If you want your team to fight, if you want your team to fight until the bitter end, then I think you should too. It's just my view. People know, but I know people don't necessarily like that opinion of mine. People say fans have a right to leave when they want, and they do. You're right. They do have a right to leave when they want to, but it doesn't mean they should, unless they have a very good reason to. It's gutting. I hate it. I really hate it. I hate looking around me and seeing fans empty the ground. It's like at 1-0. Yes, it was 2-0 very quickly. I get that, but there was loads leaving at one. There was loads leaving at one. You know, Mars Cannon says, since Bayern selling tickets to rivals, like, that's another thing from the game. I talked about the fact that there was just less than 10 Bayern Munich fans ejected from the Arsenal Stadium on Wednesday. And I spoke, I think, quite clearly and coherently about my views on that. If you've sold your Arsenal ticket to a Bayern fan knowingly, then absolutely, I think you should be banned indefinitely. And yet I had people, I'm going to be very blunt here, I think really childish people in the comment section saying, where's this snitch culture coming from? I'm sorry, but you can't in the same breath complain about us saying that people that are selling their own Arsenal tickets to Bayern fans, complaining about the fact that we're highlighting that issue, and in the same breath start complaining about the team performance. Because everything that we do should be to maximise Arsenal's performance, be that from what's going on inside the ground to what's ultimately happening on the pitch with our manager. And it was frustrating to see people in that culture sadly start to creep in. I want every single person in that ground to be as committed, as passionate, as loud as possible. Clive says, I stayed, and you have to realise when we leave, we energise our opponents. They feed off the disunity. It's a fantastic point. It's a brilliant, brilliant point. Because if you're an away player, and you're looking around at the ground, you've just scored, and the home side, the fans are leaving, heading for the exits. I remember having a phone-in show where we spoke, I think it was to Dylan, who was a fan who was not aligned with me on my views of the ticketing system. And one of the things, if you go back and watch that phone-in show, one of the points that Dylan said in that show that really irked me was talking about, you know, fans that come from abroad. And I was saying that fans that come from abroad know the value of that seat. They know the value that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for some fans to go to games. And so if we're 1-2 or 3-0 down, they'll stay in that seat and they will sing their lungs out until full time. And I know it because I know the people that do it. And sadly, some take it for granted. So I think some people take their seat for granted. And that's shown. And Clive is absolutely spot on. If you leave early, you're energizing the opposition. If you leave early, you are helping the opposition. You're not helping Arsenal. And that's a real frustration that so many did decide to leave. I don't necessarily like talking about it because I know people have very strong views in the opposite direction and I don't agree with them. But it's also, I think it's so easily brought up as an excuse. Arsenal lost the game because of their performance. They didn't lose the game because people left. So I want to make that very clear. We didn't lose the game because people left the ground at 1-0. But it didn't help. It didn't help at all. Shelby says, if you realise people, Tom, will only read the positive comments and ignore the ones that are negative. Hold on, I've just read that. Shelby, I'm more than happy to have you. I think maybe, let's check some of the other ones. Shelby says, if we get disqualified? Why would we get disqualified? That's a strange one. Shelby, please drop me a message. I'd love to have on the show. I've got about 20, 25 minutes left to have a conversation. I'd be more than happy to have you. You can find any of my socials on the screen there in front of you, at Tom Canton Media, at The Gooner Talk TV. I'd be more than happy to. So if you say Tom will only read out the positive comments and ignore the ones that are negative, Shelby, come on the show, mate. I'm more than happy to have a conversation about it. More than happy. You can find me at either of those tags and I'm happy to have a conversation. Alex says, UK fan culture is not very good compared to the rest of Europe, South America, North America, North Africa. UK doesn't have an organised ultras culture. Stadiums are quiet. Look, ultras aren't always a good thing. I will put that out there. There's you know, ultras can't, you know, they're not always a good thing. And, you know, there's definitely been issues with attempts to create an ultra side of our things as well. Let's not pretend there haven't been. But you can't, you know, not the support, the noise that fans create. I don't want to go too down of labelling things like, you know, UK culture and all of that. It's very, very difficult to pin that on specifically it being a UK thing because I go to plenty of grounds around the UK and the fans are brilliant. Aston Villa have brilliant supporters. You know, their supporters are absolutely excellent in their home ground, whether they're winning or losing. You know, certainly when we took that late lead, I remember it was Jorginho when he scored that goal. I didn't see the Villa fans leaving when Jorginho scored that goal. I saw them getting behind the team trying to find the next equaliser. And obviously, in the end, it was Martinelli that went through and scored the winner very late on. But that's the difference, ultimately. There is a difference there. MRM, who's been a member for 21 months, is asking questions about food after yesterday. But he says, would you put all your eggs in the Champions League basket? No, I wouldn't. No, you got to play game by game, mate, at the end of the day for me. It's all about game by game. It's ultimately about looking at Bayern as the next challenge. Bayern is the next one up. That is who we're ultimately facing next. And that's who we've ultimately got to try and take on. And if we progress past Bayern, we've then got Wolves. And Wolves is up next. And so let's wait and see if that's going to be the next opportunity to go forwards. And if we get knocked out, it's there. And then it's the Champions League. Sorry, then it's the Premier League. Shelby says, well, the problem is there is always excuses for you, Tom. I'm here and a subscriber. Doesn't mean I have to agree with everything you say. If we can't have a convo, then I don't know anymore. I'm literally inviting you for a conversation. That's literally what I'm doing right now. The links are there. You can head to either of my Twitters. You can find the, you can message me there and I'll happily send you the link to come on. I'm inviting you for that conversation. At no point have I ever turned down the opportunity for an opportunity to have a conversation with people. If people are willing to be respectful, I'm always, you know, I'm not going to have abusive people on the channel, but I'm always willing to hear a different side to the story and have a conversation. It's absolutely no problem whatsoever. But so far, no message, which is frustrating, but not entirely unsurprising, especially from the other person from earlier on. Let's go through some more of your comments, shall we, while we see if we wait and see if anyone decides to show up. Arthur says, should Arteta play two number sixes for the Bayern game? I think Rice and Partey should start that game. That's what I would go for personally. If I think you have to try it. You have to go for that game. You have to use the double pivot. And that's the best way forwards, ultimately. Cyrus says, Tom, why are some fans moaning? It's not yet over till it's over. Someone pointed out to me that it's a coping mechanism for some, which I think there's... I'm just going to roll this line down. Getting a bit bright in here. I think some see it as a bit of a coping mechanism, pessimism. I could never do it. Like I could never do the pessimism thing. As I said at the start of the show, I recommend anybody that that struggles, anybody that needs to take a breath, needs to take a day, needs to take a week off, please do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth your your mental health ruining it. It's really not. So please do take the time if you need it. But I think Tim Stillman put an excellent tweet yesterday, which I'll read out for you, because it was a really excellent assessment, I think, of kind of the post-game feeling. Let me try and find it. Here we go. You can find Tim on Twitter, and he's obviously been a fantastic contributor to our live show this year. Tim at Stillmanator says, definitely despondent about the result today, but I can't relate to the anger and blame. Arsenal have been on an insane run and they lost a game they could have won. It happens. The level to win the league now is just totally insane. I think we're better than we were last season, so I can't feel anger. The Premier League is now an English Bundesliga, and look what it took for Germany to take that away from Bayern all after all this time. That's what we have in England now. It's enormously difficult. When Liverpool won in 2019-20, they took 82 out of 87 points after 29 games. That's the sort of thing you have to do to stop City from winning it. I can't be throwing blame and anger around for not doing that. And I think it's a really, really, really good message. A really good assessment. A really, really good one. Because it's true. You know, we don't have it. We don't have it whatsoever. And it's almost unspeakably difficult. Like, it's almost so hard that you can't necessarily even put into words. You can't put into words how hard it is to win this league. And we've obviously not lost a single game in the league prior to this one in 2024. We haven't lost a single game prior to this one in the league. We've drawn one, which was against Manchester City. And I look forward to seeing if any more points are dropped, because if they're not, and we still lose the league and say we win the rest of the games, I'm very, very curious to see what ultimately ends up happening and how the season gets viewed. If we drop more points and we collapse and fall apart, it's a different conversation. We'll have that when that conversation can arise. But right now, we're 2 points off the top. We're ahead of Liverpool. We're second in the table. And we've got 6 games to go, which is more than we were. I think at this point, 6 games to go. Where were we at last same point last season when we lost to Manchester City? They had 2 games in hand. I think that was something like, what was it, April as well? We lost to Manchester City in April. They were 2 points behind us when they won, but they had 2 games in hand, which they won both of. So they went 4 points ahead. We were 4 points behind the lead after losing to Manchester City. So we are further ahead than ultimately we were last season. There is progress, and that's encouraging, but there's still obviously differences. Damien, have we talked about the ladies? Of course, Arsenal women won 5-0 yesterday. We haven't talked about it because this show is specifically about yesterday's result, and I'll be talking more about that in tomorrow's news show. So it's not that I'm not talking about it or I'm ignoring it. This specifically is why we're here to talk about this game. So that's why we haven't mentioned it. David says, there's a level of copium. Unfortunately, I don't think the players have the mentality. It's different. I mean, what does the mentality mean, and what has to change for them to get that mentality is what I ask. We throw this word around a lot, you know, like the players don't have the mentality. What changes? How do you get the players that mentality? How does a team that has gone from finishing eighth to successive title races, we talk about mentality. Where does that come from? You know, Jason says, where's Shelby? Shelby, as I've now put the link into the chat. You'll need a camera, by the way. You'll need to turn a webcam on. I need to do that for, you know, obvious reasons. You need to be over the age of 18 to join us. So make sure you turn your webcam on, Shelby, and I can get you on the show. Pear says, we've had an improvement from last season. Our squad looks better. We're scoring more goals and we're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Let's focus on the improvement and keep the positivity going. It's very hard, isn't it, to respond to what was a very disappointing result. And hopefully we see that response. But when we lost to West Ham, we obviously followed that up with a defeat to Fulham. We followed that up with a defeat to Liverpool. We got to hope. Shelby saying, I'm on PC and I don't have a webcam. You can use your phone. Your phone works fine on StreamYard. You can actually download the StreamYard app. It gives you the access to your phone. So please use your phone if you haven't got that. But you have to have a webcam for child protection purposes. So you'd need that. Let's go to Maximia. Says, Tom, there is a thin line between criticising team and manager and going ballistic with vitriol. As fans, we need to see that line and stay on the right side. I criticise Arteta, but I don't call for his head. And that's important. It's like, you should be allowed to criticise. That's the thing. I think some people don't. There's two ends of the spectrum for me in terms of the Arsenal fan base. You've got the uber negative and critical, not critical, just uber negative, like the can Arteta can do no right type end. And at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the toxically positive, that if you say anything about Arteta that's negative, yeah, and then you're screwed. You get absolutely battered. I like to think that we fall somewhere in the middle, that we can criticise and we can be objective and we can praise and we can look at the problems and we can stay grounded and we can ask the right questions. And that's also important. Arthur says, wow, we're on less than 300 likes. I knew it was going to be a tough one today. You know, obviously it was expected after we, of course, did lose against Porto. We had a very, very difficult period then as well. So that's not surprising at all. But please do, if you could drop a like. There's over 1,000 of you watching across our platforms on YouTube and on Twitter. So if you could drop a like. If you're watching on Twitter, do hop over to YouTube. We do these shows every single day at 8 a.m. Trust me, getting up every single morning at 8 a.m. has been a joy this season. But even when it's not, I still put in the effort to try and do that for you and produce a show for you every single morning. So please, please do. Adam says, long time listener, first time watching live. Hi, Tom. Great work with everything you do. Thank you, Adam. That's very kind of you indeed. Steal Your Face says, yeah, what happened to us winning every game because of the 1K every day? Hey, I never said it was a tried and trusted protocol. Nell says, hard to focus on improvement when we lose games. We should be winning. It makes the improvements get lost in the heat of the moment. In the heat of the moment, absolutely. I try to stay off social media as much as I can after games. It's nearly impossible in my job not to. It's why at the start of this show I opened with the message that I opened with, that I think that's, you know, if it's getting to you so much, if it upsets you so much, then you need to be in a position where you can take yourself away from things, detach from them. If this game had happened 3-4 years ago, I don't know if I'd have even got up in the morning to do this show for you. I think I would have just gone off to work, stewed in my own misery. But the thing about growing up, a thing about evolving, a thing about watching football differently is that you learn to detach from it. It sucks when we lose. It's horrible. But I don't let it ruin my day anymore because I just think, why would I do that? There's so many more things in life to enjoy than just football, you know. So I don't let it get to me. I think it also helps me stay a lot more objective when it comes to looking at the team. I'm not going to necessarily get, you know, whipped up into the emotion of anger and frustration. I'm not going to start saying the title race is over because that'd be silly. Imagine doing that. You're 2 points off the top. You know, any team can win any game in the Premier League. We've seen Aston Villa beat Arsenal and City this season. We've seen City drop points at different points. They can still drop points. If you're saying the title's done, I think it's more to do with a mindset issue than it is a reality. The irony, of course, is there that I think, is there an irony that I think you'll find that some people are saying the title race is over are the same people that say that us players have a mentality problem. Can you see the irony there? Because I think there's an irony there. By the way, Shelby has sadly not been able to find a webcam, it seems. So no conversations will be had so far, which is a shame. I've explained before that you absolutely always need to have a webcam on because there should be very obvious reasons why I need you to have a webcam on. Clark says, I have always thought Zinchenko plays left back like a bang average attacking midfielder. It's harsh, Clark, but I think that Zinchenko's a high risk, high reward player. When he plays, you accept that you're going to see turnovers. You're going to see changes. You're going to see mistakes. But what you're also going to see is what we saw against Liverpool, what we saw against City, what we saw against... what you saw against... Bayern in the second half. He's started some really important games for us. Did he start the home game against City? I think he did, didn't he? Arsenal 1-0 City. Let's have a look. Who was our left back that day against City? He started the 1-0 win over City at the start of the season. He's a high-risk, high-reward player. And when you start him, you accept that there is going to be positives to his game, which certainly we've seen, even in this year, that he's been scrutinised more than any other period. But you have to accept that there's also going to be some errors in his game. And the sad thing is that yesterday, Arteta didn't recognise that we were starting to lean more into the mistake side of his game. And the game was kind of getting away from Zinchenko. And we didn't recognise that quickly enough. And we didn't make that change quickly enough. So that's a shame. Matt G says, who do you think we'll see first? Yuri and Timber or Shelby? There's more of a chance maybe of Yuri and Timber at this stage. I'm hoping Shelby proves us wrong, though. There's still time. Samson says, when Pep leaves, do you think City will be this amazing? I don't. Before he came, they only won 2 league titles in 5 years. City have a tendency to drop standards when they win a league. I don't know if they do, Samson. I think that's some wishful thinking. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But they've got some difficult away trips. They've got to go to Brighton. They've got to go to Forest. They've got to go to Tottenham. Well, I don't expect Tottenham to do us any favours, but you never know. But to be honest, I think we've got to ignore City. We've got to focus on ourselves. You know, we get all caught up in what others are doing. We've got to go to Wolves this weekend. We've got to win. We've got to go to Spurs. We've got to win. We've got to go to United. We've got to win. We've got to play Bournemouth and Everton at home, and we've got to win, and we've got to play Chelsea at home. We've got to win. We've got to win all of our games. I said this before, Villa. I said to win the title, I thought we'd have to win all of our games. I'd said that prior to the Villa game. And I said the reason why is not because of Liverpool, it's because of City. So I'm very comfortable in my view before going into this game of where I saw this season going. And if we dropped any points at any stage, I thought that would probably be the nail in the coffin. It's not over yet, because mathematically it's not over yet and things can still change. But it's that frustrating inevitability about Manchester City that you just can't get over. And that's a real shame. Ali says, while I don't think the title race is over, it will be difficult. I only hope for self-reflection. Man City are good, but too often people just blame it on City. They're not infallible this season. They're not infallible, no, but in a three-way title race with Liverpool back to their somewhat best and Arsenal, you know, the best they've ever been in nearly 20 years, you know, and we're still potentially falling short to this City team. You know, that's hard. They could win another treble. They could go and win another treble again. That's the standards. That's where what we're up against. And, you know, we can have a lot of conversations about how they've got there another day. But that's what we're up against right now. Fan says, it'll be unrealistic to expect us to win every single game, lose our first Premier League game in 2024 in April. OMG, we've bottled it. It's over. Arteta needs to go. If you finished yesterday's game and your immediate reaction was to think, you see, Arteta's not good enough, you know, he's bottled another league title. I think you're beyond reason. I don't know what I could say to convince you otherwise. I really don't. But as I did say, we will be doing a phone-in show at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Maybe Shelby will work out to use a webcam by then. By 5 o'clock this afternoon, we will be doing a phone-in show where you can come on and have your say on the title race, have your say on the squad, have your say on the mentality, have your say on anything that you'd like to. David says, has the league turned into the Bundesliga, Tom? I mean, it's the same point that Tim raised on Twitter yesterday. I think it's a really interesting view, and the argument is yes. And the only reason why Bayern Munich haven't won the league this season is because Bayer Leverkusen haven't lost a single match in any competition, not just the Bundesliga. They haven't lost a single game in any competition at all. It's a stunning season for Leverkusen. Absolutely unbelievable. And I tell you what, Granit Xhaka deserves the utmost credit, because he's gone from Arsenal and then he's taken the experience of last season into that Leverkusen team. And my goodness me, he's made a lot of people eat their words. A lot of people eat their words. Luke says, yes, factually the title isn't mathematically gone, but we, for whatever reason, can't cope at this time of the season. As Super Kev says, it's the players go through to those calling for Arteta to go. It's the players, though, to those calling. Oh, I see. So it's more so, I think you're saying it's more so the players you need to look at. As I said, Arteta set us up to win the game. And, you know, the philosophy, the tactics in the first half were enough for us to be winning, you know, by more than just a single goal at halftime. And we just didn't take the chances that came our way. And but we ended up paying the price for that. So it wasn't a case of, like, I remember there's games where we've been awful. Like, you think about last season, we surrendered the game to Southampton early on. West Ham, awful performance against West Ham. Yes, we missed a penalty in that game as well. The Manchester City game, terrible performance. Really not good. But obviously this performance, we set ourselves up to win in the first half. We didn't take the chances. Second half, we faded, and Villa rose to the challenge and were clinical when it mattered. James says, hi, Tom. Great show as always. We're 2 points behind possibly one of the biggest teams there has ever been. Things aren't that bad, Gooners. And Maximus says, Tom, I think the Invincibles Bundesliga version. Yeah, I mean, let's wait and see. They've still got a few games left. Will they go invincible in the Bundesliga? An amazing achievement if they do it. MRM says, I'm going to try and join the phone-in show this evening. What do I need to download? If you are using your phone, there is a StreamYard app, which I've discovered recently. So StreamYard, that's StreamYard, is a StreamYard app. When I throw the link into the chat box, you can then hop over, just go onto your Safari with the link, and then it will take you into the StreamYard app, which you can use as well to join us. So that is 5 o'clock this afternoon. There will be a phone-in show. So if you've got some thoughts, if you want to give your view on where you're at right now with the team, then I'll be hosting a phone-in show at 5 o'clock UK time this afternoon. And I look forward to welcoming you. So I think that's where we're going to end things there. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate your time as always. Have a fantastic day. I always say that, but it feels so hollow saying it now. But maybe just take yourself away from things. Maybe stay off social media for a fair few hours. Maybe detach yourself, as I've said. The message is that this is football. And there is far more important things in the world than football. Family, friends, things you enjoy doing. Spend time with them. Spend time just taking your mind off Arsenal, because, yeah, there is way more in this world than just this. So please do. But please do drop a like and subscribe if you're new around here, with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. And I'll see you at 5. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.